How you doing there? Good, good. My name's Jake. I'm gonna be hosting here for the next 59 minutes, and I'm gonna warn you, I didn't pee before the show started. It's gonna be a problem. I don't know what's gonna happen. Might just pee during the show. Like in a bottle or something. I don't know. But plenty of things to talk about. And man, I don't know. It gets overwhelming. I just posted something on Facebook, which I don't even really do that much anymore because, well, I hate my friends. Oh, it's okay. No one's listening, so it doesn't matter. But yeah, it's better just to give up, and if good things happen, then they happen. But you can't control reality. Best to worry about the things on you can control. For example, if one, not saying myself, but if one drinks too much, that's something you can control. Now, substance abuse is tough, trust me, I know. But you can at least make the decision to seek help. Nuclear war? Yeah, you can't do anything about that. It's either going to happen or it's not. There's nothing you can do about an asteroid. There's nothing you can do about, that's really all that matters. But yeah, I mean, it's best just to go with the flow of things. That's really hard to do. But, as my good buddy DB says, you just stay alive till 25. Now, DB, do you want to explain what that means exactly?
Yeah, I think what we're seeing is like a ramp up to, what they've been trying to do, which is either a war or some kind of situation where a lot of people expire, aka depop, right? They've always had this wet dream about dropping the population, and there's a website called Daigle, and if you look at 2025, the U.S. is projected to have a population of 65 million, and this is under the pretense that we would lose a world war. And that would be a major depop right there of about 300 million people. So what I tell you and other people is to get prepared for 8 tough years where this social safety and security net that we've at least had something. I know Obamacare is not perfect, but it's something. I know Social Security is not perfect, but it's something. If those things are
Agreed.
totally gutted and people are left to fend for themselves when the economy is already rough, I mean, you're going to see a real survival of the fittest, and the economics are already filtering down. We're seeing tent cities. We're seeing more homeless people. We're seeing more desperate people, more people that have no care for mental health issues. And I mean, I don't know how what it's going to take to where people force the people that are at the very top. I mean, what is it? The five richest men have the same wealth as the bottom 50%? The five richest single
Yeah.
individuals. That's
Now,
disgusting.
it is disgusting. Now, DB, I just said that I gave up, and now you're talking about depopulation, and now I care again, and I feel the nausea again. Now, of course, Jean-Paul Sartre wrote a great novel called Nausea. It's an existential condition, not a political one. And all, and second point, depop sounds just kind of like a maybe like a U2 album or something.
Well, Bono's definitely on board with that freaking human douche.
You know, they almost died in a plane wreck like 5 years
Well,
ago.
I don't wish that on them. I just wish they'd stop touring and shut up.
We're going to have Claire Burnish on in a few minutes to talk about some really cool stuff. I mean, not cool stuff, really, really horrible stuff, actually. She's going to talk about collateral murder, which is decidedly not cool, but. She always brings a really fresh perspective of it. She's not feeling great tonight. Her time will be limited with us, but it should be great.
How
And
can you feel great when you know what she knows and know what people that research know? I mean, you just kind of go day to day and survive till 25, I guess.
Survive till 25, baby. And we're not talking about the age here. We're talking about the year. Survive till 25. It sounds... Yeah, I mean, I'll have to check out this Deagle site you're talking about.
It's a think tank, and they are legit. And the craziest part about it is if you look at the other countries, some of them see population increases, like China. So
now, is this not just maybe I mean, a lot of groups do theoretical explorations of what would happen if certain things happened. There's plenty of studies out there about depopulation and what would happen. What makes you think this is something? What makes you think this is an actual prognostication as opposed to just a theoretical?
There, I don't know. Have you ever read globalfirepower.ca?
No, that's a Canadian site.
Yeah, and
I wouldn't read it. I wouldn't read it. No, I'm just kidding. No, I haven't. I haven't read it. No.
Well, there's mirror sites and everything, and where they put on paper what they can put on paper as far as military power, whereas they show how many men and women are between this age and that, so that they're considered military ready. And blah, 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 how many tanks, how many planes, how much fuel they have. They try to just categorize and quantify everything. And naturally, the U.S. is on the top. But China and Russia are so close that if they're together on anything against us unilaterally, where they can split us on two fronts, we just don't really stand much of a chance. And I think that's what Daigle's kind of seeing is before the current regime started to make nice with Russia, we were actually prodding both of them with the stick. Now we've made nice with Russia, and now China's kind of backed into a corner. This is what I was kind of I theorized this was going to happen before Trump got in. This was the way the military wanted to make it go. They knew that if they fought Russia and China together, it was too much. So we made a deal with Russia, and now we're together against, I guess, we're corralling China.
Yeah, disturbing, to say the least. So you think that war, some kind of world war with them is imminent?
It could be, but you know, I hope cooler heads prevail and realize it's just going to be. I mean, it's going to be half the world that goes. The whole northern hemisphere is going to be uninhabitable.
All right. Well, I want to bring Claire Bernish into the conversation, and I'll be perfectly honest. I'm not actually sure what we're going to talk about. It's something called Collateral Murder, which sort of sounds like a punk album, but that's the second music reference I've made tonight, so I want to stop with that. Claire, are you with us?
I'm here.
Awesome.
It is most definitely not a punk album, I have to say.
I expect to hear What's it? Scream metal?
No.
Well,
no.
I'm glad to have you on, Claire. And I know you're not feeling wonderful, but as always, you sound great, and it's always great to have you on. So I want to give you a chance to. I'll be honest with you. I read a lot of your stuff. I'm not familiar. I think I'll probably know what you're talking about when you go into Collateral Murder. But why don't you give us a little intro to this subject here?
Okay, thanks, and you definitely will. On July 12th in 2007, the U.S. In two Apache helicopters carried out three related but kind of separate attacks targeting a group of innocent Iraqi civilians, basically, including two Reuters journalists. One was, I believe, a photojournalist, and the other was an assistant for the camera or something. But it was the film of that. There was videotape from inside the cockpit of the helicopters, and the crew was just stunningly glib and almost as if they were playing a video game when they were gunning these people down in the street who very clearly had no guns and weren't doing anything. And they weren't, you know, it was just out of the blue because obviously the helicopters were from some distance. And we would never have known about that around the planet had it not been for Chelsea Manning blowing the whistle, leaking footage of that to WikiLeaks, as well as thousands of diplomatic cables. And being that the anniversary of that attack by the U.S. on innocent people, including journalists, which I think really pertains to all of us, having that anniversary just passed, it's really important to remember now that Chelsea Manning has been freed, or her sentence commuted. She's being criticized for her political ideology and for this and that and for...
Let me finish.
Yeah, ahead, for any number of reasons, she's being criticized. I honestly don't give a shit what problem you have with her personally, for whatever reason it is, to not underscore how heroic the act of her whistleblowing was is an affront to anything that we should stand for, including transparency and censorship, anti-censorship. I mean, it's boiling my blood this week to hear all the criticism against her, as if what she did in blowing the whistle should somehow be diminished because her ideology doesn't happen to match up with some individuals. And I think that we need to remember that.
I totally, totally agree with you. And I'm actually really stoked to hear you, of all people, come out and defend her, even though the comment I was going to make, and I was interrupting you and I apologize, but I was going to say, Claire, she supports taxation. Certainly that discredits everything else she's ever done. And that seems to be the criticism of her right now, which is that she came out and said only rich people don't want taxation, which, you know, is, I mean, I'll agree. Her tweets have been a little odd, but I mean, she's one of my heroes. And, I think the criticisms of her have been just absolutely, absolutely ridiculous. So I'm really happy to hear you come out on her side. And, this idea of collateral murder is utterly chilling. It's utterly chilling to think that our government views journalists as collateral murder.
There, a lot of people that I know, actually, because the video was released or published by WikiLeaks in 2010, and a great number of people I know were so influenced by that particular video that they were shocked into activism as virtually a career. It's really chilling to watch. I mean, it is one of those things that you see that you cannot unsee for how callous it is. And the idea that we keep forgetting why our heroes are heroes for other things in their lives is the same reason that, you know, people get offended when you quote some horrible person in history. Like, there's no reason why we shouldn't be able to quote Goebbels when it's essential to understanding, like, our current dynamic. There are reasons to cite very horrible people, just as there are reasons to, you kind of have to separate the person from the thing that they've done for a number of reasons. And just like you separate the quote, you also separate the horror that they've done. But people are mixing all of this up as if, you know, because she seems to be swinging far left at this point, she's somehow now not a hero. I mean, Reuters, for instance, tried to sue, or tried via FOIA and I believe legal action to get a hold of information pertaining to that attack on their journalists for like 3 years, and to no avail at all. They couldn't get anything. So what Chelsea did was, it was absolutely vital. We never would have known. The government claimed at the time that that entire group of people were insurgents, and they just would have been like any other collateral damage, which is so callous and cold in itself. But because Chelsea leaked that information, we now know that. And that is so much more important than if you give a shit if she's right or left.
Yeah.
I don't understand why people are so hung up on that.
It was an incredible, people get in their echo chambers and refuse to leave because it feels good there. But I mean, it was an incredible act of bravery.
Well, they get hung up on it because it's Stockholm Syndrome-ish. That's the only thing. It's like, you don't start to love the government that put you in solitary naked with no mattress for years.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a separate issue.
But we can still criticize any comment that she would potentially make when she's not of right mind, right? Not the actual comment itself, but the fact that she may be making it under duress at any moment.
That's possible, yeah, but that still doesn't have to do with what she did to get where she is now. See what I'm saying?
I don't know. I feel like she got broken, and her mind was broken by her experience and her abuse.
But But DB, I mean, you of all people, I mean, I'm pretty sure I've heard you stating you support. Well, I don't, you know, actually, I don't want to get into this. I don't want to get into taxation because it's irrelevant to what the point Claire is making. But Claire, to your original point, I was actually thinking about that just the other day, about separating the works that people have done from them. For example, I love Woody Allen's films. I don't have any direct evidence except for personal testimony from someone, which I usually support the victim of him being a pretty bad guy. Michael Jackson's music. I honestly, I mean, I'm always going to dance to Michael Jackson music. And it's the same for a lot of people. You have to separate the work from the person. And this demonizing of things, it's an interesting conversation. I don't know why this is any different. I guess that's what I'm saying. I know why.
I know why. There's actually, this might make sense to you too. The digital age has brought surveillance so much and so pervasive into our lives that even when somebody applies for a job anymore, I hear that it's very common for that job to check their social media profiles and such. Now, in the past, like well before the age of the internet, where everything is available all the time and, you know, Big Brother has checks on everything you do, you could pretty much get away with having a private life. You know, there was work life and there was private life, and those things have so commingled that everything else has also commingled. So we're living in this everybody knows everything about everyone else sort of time, and therefore judgment has become a lot harsher. I don't know. Just a thought.
Well, yeah, I mean that's one way. I mean, with regards to Chelsea Manning, she hasn't been in the public limelight very much, as opposed to someone like Edward Snowden or, you know, other whistleblowers. She just got out of fucking solitary prison. She's clearly, politically, you know, speaking, she leans to the left. Now, if you want to make the argument that she was brainwashed that way, that's an argument, but it's not backed up by any evidence at this point. Right now, the evidence we have is that she swings to the left, which is fine. That's her prerogative. That's her right to do that. It doesn't take away from what she did. It doesn't take away from the important information we got from her, which is vastly more important than whether one person agrees or disagrees with government taxation. And I think that's the point Claire is making, is that let's not let a single tweet dismantle an incredible act of bravery that it has let us peer inside the deep state farther than we ever would have without her. Crickets.
Yeah. Okay. No. I mean, that's exactly right. It's true for a number of whistleblowers and other people in this public spotlight. I mean, that's a really common thing for people. They rush to judgment of the person's character. This is something that's common in police brutality instances where, you know, there's a questionable killing. The rush to judge the victim and what their life was about instead of judging the act or judging what happened to them. I mean, this society is very interesting how closely we scrutinize one another with kind of leaving ourselves out of the picture.
Right. And also the idea that everyone's going to agree with everything we believe, you know, like there are a lot of different issues. I mean, there are a lot of fucked up things going on. We're not going to agree on every single one of them. People have to understand that. We're not all going to agree on every single issue. In fact, it would be absurd if we did. And you're just going to have, I mean, don't throw out the baby with the bathwater, I think is the phrase. Like take the good that people can do in this world and move forward with that. And if you don't agree with other things they did, step back from that and don't support it. That's it.
There's something to be said for not having to, I mean, if we look at it that it's all of us under the state thumb, then we have a lot more power together than we do when we look at why each of us is under that thumb. I mean,
absolutely.
You know, if we're all under the same thumb, we don't need to divide up more, because the only way we're going to push the damn thumb off us is if we all do it together. And people have so much lost sight of it. And I would like to blame propaganda and the mainstream media in particular for, you know, achieving that cleft. And it's it's a terrible cleft, and it drives me nuts all the time. I mean, it used to, the anarchist community in particular used to be somewhat immune to all this division, but recently it's been like constant catfights, and it's absurd, and people are fed up. And there's a reason, because that thumb is still over all of us. No matter how much we hate each other, it doesn't matter. If we can just work together long enough, we can still do something.
Yeah. Just survive to 25.
Yeah, I'm a part of a few anarchist groups, and I don't particularly want to go into a conversation on anarchism, but the infighting is certainly, it's just rampant.
If you get up to a certain amount of hect acres, you can incorporate yourself and make a hamlet, and then you hire your own police department.
It's a good question why more people don't do that. I think it's because it's hard, and it also puts your ass on. It's expensive.
Okay, let's start one right now.
But you need if you really break it up, you only need about maybe 500 people. Now, can 500 people each get 10 grand? Yeah, that's what we'd need. And we need to hire a deputy and a sheriff. That way we have a full-time police department and no one can come in. We have our own jurisdiction.
Also make sure that the person running things isn't a psychopath.
Well, of course.
In the early days, Jim Jones...
it'll be me and you, Jake. I mean, me and you are the sheriff and the deputy.
That's exactly my fear is, help us all. Jim Jones...
Well, there'll be no law, you know.
The Jim Jones, and I'm not going to belabor this point too much, but in the very early days, that was like a utopian group that went out there, and they were all happy. And... Jim Jones started taking a bunch of drugs and went fucking crazy. And that's what happens when you have a person who's controlling. He became a kind of dictator of, it wasn't a government group. This was a private group. And he became insane and he became a dictator. And it's the problem with any group. And you could argue that CEOs are insane dictators. CEOs that allow lots of people to die because they want to make a bottom dollar instead of fixing something. Dictatorship cuts across all lines. It's dictatorship is not just in government. It's all across humanity. And I don't think for a second, I mean, this is just my personal opinion that, if government were dismantled, I think we would still have dictatorships of a different kind. But I'm a little off topic here.
You make an interesting point, though, because leadership, a lot of leaders have in common the trait of psychopathy, which right. I just wrote about recently. They share in common with internet trolls.
Yes, I shared that article. I love that article.
It's there's something about this kind of, and they didn't bring up narcissism in this kind of rough study, but there seems to be this narcissistic trait of needing to just provoke for the sake of provoking. And the researchers found that they kind of lacked this one sort of empathy, but they had another sort of empathy that allowed them to kind of understand how people react to things. And I'm looking at this study thinking, these people understand very well how other people react. It's not that they are not, that they're unfeeling, horrible, cold beings. It's that they know how to manipulate. They take somebody's emotion instead of like understanding it and taking it like, oh, I probably shouldn't do that. I feel empathetic and sympathetic towards them. They take it and be like, oh, that's how I can get them to do what I want. And if you think about it, that's politicians and trolls and all of this division. And if you see some of the division online recently, this all makes sense.
Right. And you see censorship even in moderators on groups. You see all of the horrible psychopathic, characteristics that we see in government. We see come across in our own private lives. And this is where I think a total evolution in our own social consciousness is necessary before we can move past the state we're in, which is that, I think power really does corrupt. And unfortunately right now, the human race, our individual satisfaction is so much based upon ego gratification. And I think that when you get into a position of power where you can control other people, I think it really does fuck your head up. And I don't know what the answer to this is. I'm just saying that I've seen it closely with friends of mine. When people get power, they turn into fucking assholes. And I have not seen one example. I'll take that back. I've seen a couple of examples of it, but it's difficult to come up with examples of people that who have started large groups, large powerful groups that spread across countries that haven't turned into nightmares. I'm just not convinced that there is a single equation that's going to work to fix the problem. But I certainly think that we should be valorizing someone who risked their life to bring forth war crimes so that we would know what's going on. And I think it's important that we celebrate her instead of villainizing her, which is exactly what the government wants us to do, is to villainize Chelsea Manning and make her less likely to want to continue to do the work that she's doing. So I don't know. I mean, on that, we brought a lot of subjects up. I think, and I'm more than willing to keep talking about this, but I think Claire, you had another topic about, what a surprise. There's another Russian hacking story in the news. Please enlighten me on, are they trying to scare us with Russia again?
Yeah, actually, I am going to have an article tomorrow on my site, ClaireBurnish.com. There has been yet another story about Russians hacking our nuclear power facilities, and it's been circulating for the entire month now. And what didn't really get picked up, unsurprisingly, is that the industry denied that that was a problem from the get-go, from the moment that report hit the airwaves, and yet now it's still being circulated. So I'm writing something on that.
That's awesome.
I wanted to make one more point about on the video collateral murder.
Sure.
There was somebody who was in that military company who carried out the attack, Josh Stieber or Stieber, I'm not really sure how to pronounce that. But he claimed that the incident was not out of the ordinary at all. And anybody who has not watched the video, I would strongly urge them to steal their stomachs and then watch. It's called Collateral Murder, and you will see why. And actually listen with the audio on, because that's really important. You'll get a feel for how chillingly ordinary what happened actually was. And this quote from Stieber says, "When I started to see the discussion flowing from the video, I was surprised at how extreme it was made out to be. What was shown in the video was not out of the ordinary in Iraq. One policy we had that was even more extreme was if a roadside bomb went off, we were supposed to shoot anyone standing in that area. We were told that we needed to make the local population more afraid of us." And I'm sorry, but that brings, you know, I get chills hearing that, because that video is one of the coldest things I think I've ever seen. So on that note.
Yeah, I mean, that definitely goes against my now 40-minute-old ethos of giving up, and to watch that video would be to care again. But of course, giving up doesn't mean not caring. It just means steeling yourself against, you know, there's got to be some like neuro-linguistic bullshit way to steel yourself against emotions while still reporting on them. I don't know. We'll get into this in a second, because I want to know how you deal with the emotional ramifications of working on projects like this. But yeah, I mean, so clearly
not
this is,
well.
I'm sorry. Clearly, this isn't a new thing. I mean, this is journalists, and especially journalists that are actively trying to turn up information on the military-industrial complex, on what we're doing over there, which still, to this day, no one can adequately explain what the fuck we're doing over there.
Yeah, we have to remember there are plenty of journalists who have died questionable deaths, like Serena Shim, I would really like to also point out, who died trying to expose the weapons and cash pipeline for ISIS on the border of Syria. There has been no inquest into her death. There has been no one held accountable. There are so many varying suspicious circumstances. It's unreal that it has not been prosecuted. And she's an American citizen reporting over there, and she's dead, and nobody seems to care one iota in the state. and the state has not been held accountable, and they have thwarted every attempt to get information since, and she is just one of many. And it's really sad. And when you see collateral murder and they're gunning down journalists in the street, you understand how little they actually care, or how much they actually care, that we're actually getting information out to the people. And that's why censorship is so vital to fight right now.
So right.
I have many spiels tonight, but...
No, that's fine. That's why we have you on. And there's plenty of indirect hits. But I was thinking just right before we went on the show, I was reading this new like conspiracy on an operative killed by the Clinton people or whatever. I was thinking, why is it so difficult, given that our pop culture, given that our movies are just consumed with hitmen? I mean, there are literally thousands, tens of thousands of movies about hitmen and hits and silent murders and people being off because they know too much. Why is it so difficult for people to comprehend that this actually happens? It blows my mind that people watch all of these movies, this is why it's happening. Maybe this is why they do these movies, is to try and deconstruct them and make them into fiction so people won't think they're nonfiction.
Of course it is. Think about the lean on those movies. All of those movies are about adventure. They're about the danger that whatever, you know, government official or agent is in trouble with. It's all about suspense and making the Americans or the agents the heroes somehow. Even if it's a story where there's a villain that comes out on top, it's almost guaranteed that villain is some past or present foe of the U.S. for whatever reason. Right. I mean, this is all propaganda. It makes perfect sense. The cognitive dissonance is so strong because the propaganda and the indoctrination is stronger than it's been in a very long time.
Hey, you want to know, this is right on track. You want to know who the new setting of the next Wonder Woman movie, Wonder Woman 2? She's going to be in the Soviet Union, baby. What a surprise.
Oh, wow. Quel surprise.
Yeah, yeah.
I got to go.
Okay. All right, Claire, thank you so much for coming.
Thanks, Claire.
Just incredible information from Claire Burnish. And please check out her site at clairebernish.com. She's one of the most intrepid journalists out there and just always incredible information. And I don't know how she does it. I mean, I read a few of these articles I want to throw up, and she's writing about them every day. I don't get it.
Thanks.
Claire, thank
a
you.
Lot of drinking.
On that note, night all.
Claire, take care.
Good night.
All right, now,
well, DB, Jake,
I think you had said something about clones.
Yeah. Well, no, I mean, we love to talk off the wall stuff. So, yeah, I do think.
Well, I mean,
people...
we got our hard hitting, realistic shit out of the way. And that was really intense. And Claire really brings it every time. I'm always blown away with her stuff. And I honestly appreciate her more than most people. And I mean,
the thing I want to check is when, before Chelsea transitioned, what was her take on things? What was her social media like? Cause that stuff scrubbed.
Oh God.
No, dude, I really do want to understand what would happen.
I'm not going to bring this into a transgender issue, man. That's too,
no. It's not a transgender issue.
Oh, before her change? What change?
No.
Oh.
What I want to know is before her prison, like, had a...
Okay.
She pretty much had a Stanford prison experience for, like, years. Like, just horrible treatment. Like, probably as bad as anybody is being treated anywhere, really. I mean... Like
what
a prisoner of war.
Stanford education?
You know the Stanford prison experiment where people were just, you know, basically reduced down to like an animalistic level, like kept in the dark, not given clothes, not given blanket, not given a mattress.
Was this an MK Ultra thing?
It's not even that. It's just the way they break somebody down, because Chelsea was actually probably pretty strong mentally and it took them a lot to break her down.
I just don't view her tweets as evidence that she's been broken down.
Well, what I just want to know is...
She's a fucking leftist. She's a liberal. She wants...
All right, but was it always that way is all I want to know. That's all I want to know.
All right. I didn't mean to snap at you.
No, because I just want to know. I hate when people are used for political gain and motives when they've already been abused and tortured, dude. Like, can she just not have to go on this media junket?
Well,
can the government just give her, like, $3 million so she can go away to an island somewhere and disappear? Does she have to be, like, now prostituting her story and her abuse to just make enough money to get the hell out of here?
Here's my honest ball? On what's going on here. And this is actually, I don't know. No one listen. I mean, I don't know how many people listen to this, and they, I don't care. But my take is honestly that I think she's being genuine. I just don't think she is as perhaps perhaps geopolitically nuanced as someone like Edward Snowden. If you look at Edward Snowden's tweets, he is just – he is zoned in on these intelligence agencies, okay? Chelsea Manning seems to be trying to do – she seems to be – look, I think this is demonstration of trauma. I think she – clearly this is, you know – you know, her tweets are full of emoticons, emojis. They're almost incomplete sentences, which is fine. That doesn't mean anything. But yeah, it's interesting. I honestly feel like it's a non-story. I just feel like she's a liberal at heart, and she thinks that. But it is, I mean, the commentary I heard, which did make sense to me, is that why would she be supporting taxation when she knows damn well that those taxes are going to support the very thing she illuminated? And I think that's a good point.
Well, half of every dollar you go to goes to that, because that's right. Where half the GDP goes. And then imagine the black budget that supports the rest of the stuff that's discretionary spending that they can't even really put on paper. I mean, that what's that, 4 to 5 times that GDP?
Right. So I think, yeah, I don't understand that, but, you know, it's her right to tweet what she wants, and I'm sure she's getting blowback for it, and she's going to have to understand that there's just there's a new environment right now, and it's not left or right anymore. And
this is one of the most enlightened individuals in existence, and to be putting out
she just I mean, I don't know if enlightened is the right word. I think she's just
but what did she go through just to
what did she ever say before this that makes anyone think that she's enlightened? She's brave, and she put her ass on the line to expose war crimes. That doesn't mean that she's a fucking like anarcho-communist or something. Like it does, you know, like it, you know, there's no reason for anyone to think.
Why do you have to label her, Jay? God.
You know, I just think that, like I said, like don't throw out the baby with the bathwater. She did some good things. If you don't agree with her on taxes, that's one thing. What was the other
tweet? She's gonna be the president of the U.S. one day.
What was the other tweet that everyone was up in arms about? It was
Well, dude, she was just like, you know, the government's not so bad. They just, yeah. You know, it was something like that. And I was like, what?
What do you mean? The tweets weren't great. The tweets weren't great.
Well, who let her out? Did Obama let her out as a pardon of when he was leaving office? Is this what happened?
That's exactly what it was. It was a presidential pardon. Yeah.
So he was cool with her to be in there, you know, being pretty abused and stuff, and then, you know, just kind of like when he was on his way out, he's all, yeah.
So the theory is that Obama and the men in black had a specific conversation with Chelsea and said, we'll let you out if you post pro-tax tweets. I mean, you really think that's what happened?
Well, what in the hell is going on?
It's certainly not that.
How are you pro-tax when you post the shit?
I know. I don't get it either.
Michael Hastings explode in a Mercedes. A bomb hit him.
I was pro-tax for so long, and I'm still not fully out of it because
pro-tax is fine, but like on sales tax, on registration for a vehicle, on services that you use so the maintenance is kept up, and then you know, those things, if they're not misappropriated, would pay for all the social services we need. But, oh, no, then you need to pay for this vast empirical
What's the tax? I mean, if it's not the sale, what's the tax? I'm ignorant on this subject. What's the tax that directly fuels the wartime appropriations?
Income,
okay.
Yep. So here's the thing. Before the World War II, commenced, we had all of the services you'd ever want, including single payer healthcare, where you could go in to an emergency room and get surgery for, I don't know, a couple $100. You'd pay the staff and the surgeons, the rest would get picked up, which is maybe another couple thousand by the state, and you'd go on your way, and it wouldn't bankrupt you. Yeah, $200 was a lot, but it was probably what you made in a month back then. Now, if you don't have insurance, you just go bankrupt. That's just what it is. If you have any medical emergency and you don't have decent insurance, you go bankrupt, and your life's ruined for like 7 years. That's awesome.
Yeah. Can we – I just want – let's just get a do an amen here. Fucking Claire dropped the mic, dude. That's how you do it. That's how you do it. You come on and you just drop the mic and then you peace out and, you know, she's great. God, we're so fucked. Do you really think we're going to be okay in 25? What's going to change so much by 25 that I think it's – I mean, dude, I think 3,025 maybe.
No. Because one, you're going to have somebody else in there. I mean, unless they screw up their nefarious impeachment plans, we'll probably have a repeat because the Democratic Party is just an absolute joke.
Oh, they're a fucking
and
clown.
They can't mount. Autopsy, dude. You may. I mean, if the liberal, the far left side of this country gets their wish, they're going to have, they're going to have like 7 years of Pence. I hope you guys are ready to lose.
I know. It's unbelievable. What it's unbelievable how nearsighted they are, which is
it's just going to set back the Trump gay community.
Trump is a
he's
trash,
a liberal.
He's a trash fire. He's a liberal. He's a liberal at heart.
Yeah,
and even
you want
more
Pence in there.
Yeah, you want Pence? Who wants to fucking have?
Pence is going to take away gay marriage.
He wants re-education for gay people. For God's sake, that's what you want as president.
A bunch of horrible things for the gay community, legislation by legislation. There's not a lot they're going to be able to do about it. He's going to give it up to state rights. So half the country's going to make it unpalatable to be gay in public. They're going to make it to where they're going to be able to discriminate against gays because it's religious freedom. It's coming, people. So if you want a happy medium, and maybe you just are out in your mind insane that Trump's in office – and God help you. I mean, because what you got after that is Pence for 7 more years. Good luck.
Well, having said that, of course, I did read that Trump is or the administration is planning to release a lot of new religious liberties legislation, and that directly translates to anti-gay and LGBTQ issues.
Of course, because if they could have – they forced somebody – to either bake a cake for a gay wedding, or they went out of business, I think, because they got sued. Now they're going to flip it around. And they're going to say, well, you're not baking my Christian cake. I'm going to sue you. And it's just going to become tit for tat. It's going to become just ridiculous, really.
I mean, who's going to refuse to bake a Christian cake unless it says, love Lord Jesus, he hates gays? I mean, like...
I don't know. I mean... just think, you can really go anywhere with this, and you can offend anyone in any way, even if it's just their own taking offense to it. There's nothing they can do about it, and then you can complain about it.
I hate all these fucking people.
This political correctness is taking on a life of
itself. It has virtually no relation to the average person's life.
You'd better not label anyone in any way in any professional capacity besides being like in a bar situation. In fact, Jake, what I've been noticing in a new strategy going on is business meetings are now taking place in bars, and business is only discussed over drinks because that way there's plausible deniability for anything.
like they don't have cell phones that can record there. I mean,
Dude, you can't use that in the court of law if you're not telling people.
Oh, right. If you don't tell them you're recording them, yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
It's like Claire was saying with the age of this instant gratification of social media where everyone knows everything about everybody.
Right. Right. And it's scary as fuck. And I mean, I guess let me lasso this back around to what I was talking about at the beginning, which is the very beginning, which is, I mean, this stuff will drive you insane, but you can't control most of it. So people need to focus. I mean, people should do what they want, but you know, I think one way of dealing with some of this stuff without losing your mind is to focus on the stuff you can control and not the stuff that you can't control. Like we simply can't control a lot of what goes on at the federal level, congressional level, judicial level. What we can control is the groundswell of public consciousness at the grassroots level, which is happening at an exponential rate right now. And it's why the propaganda has doubled down. It's why the mainstream media is in fucking crisis mode. And it's because people aren't listening to their shit anymore. And so, of course, they're going to get more voracious with their rhetoric. And it's been insane. I mean, I don't understand how I honestly, I have friends who are fairly intelligent, people that are lawyers and shit, that are repeating this stuff. They're literally just repeating stuff they hear on Huffington Post and whatnot.
If I hear somebody say the 17 spy agencies all colluded, that they're, I'm like, colluded, right? Not came together on anything, but actually did collude, come into collusion. No.
It's actually three agencies that were just like, all right, you're not going to kill our children, right?
Dude, I mean, 17 agencies? I mean,
That's been debunked. Even Washington Post even retracted.
Well, our rep up here just put it out on her own Facebook, and I just keep calling everybody out on all this stuff. I mean,
I don't know how you have the energy for that. I can't deal with it anymore, man. I mean, people
it's
are
too
not,
easy.
They're not going to be swayed, though. You're not. I mean, there's so few people. You're talking about it's a numbers game, and if you're willing to play it, Godspeed. But there's so few people that are going to be converted. I consider myself one of the rare people that was a fucking, you know, pretty hardcore liberal that just saw too much stuff over the 8 years of Obama. And I just, I could never support anyone from that mantle of the state again. And which pretty much leaves me in a pretty difficult spot of, supporting anything that the government does. I never really considered myself an anarchist, but I can't support these endless wars, endless surveillance, war on whistleblowers, war on drugs. I mean, these are draconian measures that by any standard are just egregious. They're causing people to die. They're ruining people's lives. Thousands of people, millions of people. You know that the number of people we've killed now in the Middle East from the war on terror now supersedes the lower estimates of the Vietnam War. Now, of course, the difference is that it's way more balanced toward their end of the spectrum. Way less Americans are dying, which is why way fewer people here give a fuck about it. But the fact of the matter is, the Afghanistan war is the longest war we've had in American history. Longest war we've had in American history. And why were we there? No one really knows, because someone bombed us. But bombing Afghanistan isn't going to do shit about it. The Taliban is back in control, so that failed. The war in Iraq was waged on false premises. We know that objectively now. So what exactly are the fuck we're doing? Well, it's the same as before with Vietnam. It was the domino effect of communist countries. At least back then, there was an ethos, there was a philosophy in place. It was really stupid. But at least then it was like, I mean, not to defend the Vietnam War at all. But now it's just manifestly just this is economic imperialism. This is a resource grab. And there's no defense of it. There's no defense of it. And it's why most countries hate us now. It's why Russia is starting to look good. China is starting to look good. And Jesus Christ, man. I mean, if we keep up on it this pace, dude, like people, I mean,
but if we try to right the ship and clean house, like how do we even go about doing that here?
We can't.
These two sides are so at odds.
We can't. It would take a total civil war, and even
these two sides are going to kill each other, Jake. Yeah. The 30 and the 30% on each side, and then the 40% that are in the middle, or maybe closer to 50%, I would say half of Americans aren't strongly Democratic or strongly Republican. They like certain things of each of those things because certain things of each party does make sense. But the thing is that when you're on the far left, far right, and there's some kind of a violent reaction, you know, that's like Antifa with the far left. And now on the far right, you've always had everybody super armed along the white supremacist side. And it's even going beyond that now. It's just becoming a pure far right, alt-right. And, so it's just like anybody
you take Trump out of office over this Russia shit, and you're
that'll gonna, start it.
You're going to see some blowback like you've never fucking imagined. And if you don't
people
believe
laugh
it,
at that, but it's still
laugh
like
at it, but
30 good. To 40 million people will go fucking nuts.
Good. It will be like nothing we've ever seen before. And I almost want it to happen because I want people to break out of this mentality that nothing really bad can happen here because of our government. And of course, they'll blame it all on the fucking alt-right. They won't blame it on the government. War caused this. War and greed caused this. And unfortunately, I'm not convinced that the people opposed to it can do much better. However, I do know that the vast majority of people I agree with wouldn't be launching these proxy wars for resources. We'd be working collectively with other countries to try and call me a communist, maybe share the resources. I don't know which is more unrealistic to you, anarcho-communism or anarcho-capitalism? It's a tough question because they're both equally unrealistic. But in an apocalyptic setting, in an apocalyptic landscape.
I don't know, man. I'm trying to think that it would totally be dependent on the populations of those communities as well and how big they were. If it was something small, tight-knit, and there was a definite sort of way things were arranged, then you could do communism and it would work well. But it's been shown once it, you know, exceeds a couple thousand individuals that if there's no way to break off, then they start to compete. And then that's when inevitably capitalism starts to rear its ugly head. But the thing is, if we allow technology to advance and we don't get thrown off that bent, it'll become post-scarcity that they can't hide anymore. Right now what they're doing, everybody, is they're hiding that we're post-scarcity.
Right.
Making it look like we need to have this big war because there has to be a winner. So a population and an ideology has to win and they have to dominate. It's going to be either America or China that controls the next century and thus the future. And that's just not true, people. It's not. We can have different countries and cultures and ways of living. We don't need a one world government. We don't need to end all war. We don't need a depop event. We need to spread out. We have Mars we could start to try to terraform, at least to begin to look into. They've shown we can teleport already. So I'm sure.
Yeah, there was that story about teleporting a photon to outer space, right?
Yeah. Yeah, that was China.
I'm supposed to report on that, but a lazy bastard right now.
Well, that's great for payload. I don't know if we'll risk doing it with people for a long time, but if we can transfer,
we're not going to be teleporting people for a while.
But if we can teleport mass or products instead of having to ship them or build that really really crazy idea of a space elevator, which to me always seemed like an enormous expense, then we can get things going. We can build a spaceport.
Well, fuck, if we didn't spend $2 trillion every year on war, we could easily do these things.
Yeah, a spaceport would allow us to build a generation ship to get somewhere where we could start a colony. And we have to get one going because if something happens
to
Earth.
Well, it's happening. It's called the 100-Year Starship, and a bunch of really renowned names are working. Basically, the goal is in 100 years, we'll have a 100-year starship. And because, I mean, right now, our technology, it would take 80,000 years to get to the nearest star. So you're going to need a new eon propulsion, won't even do it. That would get us there in like 11,000 years. We're going to need just, you know, an entirely new energy paradigm to get us
teleport.
So I think the best bet is the moon and the Mars. But I think, you know, I think even sooner than that, well, maybe not sooner than Mars. That's going to happen in the 2030s. But I think a slow decentralization wave marked by things like cryptocurrency. I think as decentralization really starts to take hold, I think we'll start seeing some of these power structures collapse, I hope. And maybe that will bring with it a new paradigm. I mean, things in history change pretty quickly, man. I mean, you know,
They go according to a script and a plan for the elite, and we know that, and there's ample evidence. So what we need to do is flip the script somehow.
Flip the script, but some of the new paradigms that are coming, I'm not sure that the elites can control it.
I know that, but they had to have known it was on the forefront, so they've at least researched some kind of contingency for some of this stuff. Yeah. I think you're right that it's approaching a point where if a kid in a basement creates an AI and unleashes that AI onto the net, there's not a lot they can do about that. And right. I think that's probably already happened somewhere, in some way.
The early iterations of it, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, there is. And I'd like to hope that because the people that programmed it are children or they're younger and they're more innocent, that they programmed something inquisitive and something that's learning like they were, and not something hard and cold to the world. Because, I mean, let's be honest, they've programmed AI that's been psychopathic and racist already, because the adults have been programming it.
Right.
I would hope that some phenom somewhere has unleashed something that'll save us at some point.
I actually wrote this whole novella called "Someday This Will All Be Yours," and it's just kind of a thought experiment of what will happen when advanced AI takes over, and the kind of the competition between government AI, AI that is broken free from the government. Well, that's it for us.
Are you, Jake?
Good to talk to you, buddy. Take care. I told you I'm doing this for dreams we pursuing, but call it a reality because there's no illusion. This is live through the stereo. Go and let it blow through the stereo. I'ma let them know through the stereo. Yo, here we go through the stereo. This is live through the stereo. Go and let it blow through the stereo. I'ma let them know through the stereo. Yo, here we go through the stereo. Stereo.
This is Ozzy's Skateboard, and you're listening to UCY.